How do I avoid being a grumpy old man? Those murmurs show me that something that may be a lost cause. But how about you? How do you avoid being an angry person? The next section of the letter of James starts by addressing this. And I'd ask you, if you would, to take out your Bible, or if you haven't brought a Bible, to pick up one of the church Bibles from the back of the seats, because one of the purposes of this talk is to help you study this passage in the week, at home, and in your home group. Home group studies are available for group leaders and for anyone else who'd like to follow up these talks and this teaching through the week. So James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. We're on page 246 in the New Testament part of the church Bibles, and towards the back of your own Bibles if you've got a different page numbering. James 1, verse 19 says this: "You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. For your anger does not produce God's righteousness." There is a lot of anger around. It might be expressed as road rage, or parents watching their children play sport rage, or Facebook outrage, or personal abuse of those nearest to us. Whichever way it's expressed, anger is destructive. It spoils things. It particularly spoils good relationships, friendships. And as James says, it does not produce God's righteousness. It doesn't make things right. It doesn't make us right with the Lord God. Indeed, quite the opposite. So if we don't want to spoil relationships, how do we avoid being angry? And if we want to be right with God, what is the way forward? In the previous verse, James has mentioned people becoming Christians. Can you see in verse 18? In fulfillment of his own purpose, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So it's people becoming Christians, experiencing new birth by receiving God's words of truth. And receiving God's word of truth isn't only the way we become Christians, it's also the way we grow as Christians, rather than the alternative. Rather than growing into angry or grumpy people. So, beloved, everyone, he says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. Well, how can I do that? Actually, it says a bit more in verse 26. I'll just read that one before addressing the question. "If any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongues, but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless." This matters, James is saying. If you want your faith to be worthwhile, it really matters. How can I be slow to speak and therefore avoid anger? Well, do something like bridle your tongues. Do you know how to control a horse? Fit a bridle. That's one of those bars across the mouth, attached to the reins, so that every time a horse gets grumpy, the rider can rein it in. So how does that apply to us? How can we be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger? Well, somehow we have to stop ourselves talking unhelpfully, stop ourselves responding precipitately, and listen more. I don't know, one of the ways in which we can talk like that less to others is to give ourselves a talking to more often. Don't know if you've ever done that. Stood in front of a mirror and given yourself a talking to about the sort of thing that's winding you up and causing you to say things you regret. Okay, maybe you don't do that. Maybe it's only me. Yeah. And maybe it is the fifth sign of madness, but I don't think so. I actually think these are the sorts of ways in which we can be quick to listen, slow to talk, and slow to anger. You've got to do something about it. In the same way that you might put a bridle on a horse. How are you going to do it for yourself? I'm always struck that we've been given two ears, but only one mouth, for good reason. And we need to use them in that sort of proportion, don't we? And to help ourselves, train ourselves, sort ourselves out in order to do that. And so we might avoid anger, which is so destructive. Two more things to stop us being angry and destructive. They're there in verse 21. Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word which has the power to save your souls. So first of all, rid yourself of festering nastiness. If you've got some sort of nastiness growing inside you, festering, do you let annoyances fester in your heart and grow in your heart or in your mind? Festering stuff will burst sooner or later, and it will be a mess. So be rid of it and tackle it and bring an end to it. Banish it from your heart. And wickedness, if it's let, will grow. So we need to root it out, sort it out, before it grows and takes us over. And in positive terms, how do we welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save our souls? Do you do that? That's a great challenge. What an important thing. So root out the weeds of wickedness and festering sordidness. And instead, welcome the implanted word and let that grow. Make the space for that to grow. So welcome Bible teaching. And God's word grows in our hearts like a plant. But we need to welcome it meekly. That's an unfashionable word, but a really important one, which means conscious submission to it. Recognizing that God's word is our authority, it's in charge. We submit to it. That's welcoming it meekly. And then we receive its power to save our souls and helping us to stop being angry people. Just one or two more things on how we receive God's word meekly and see this good growth in us. We receive the word by hearing it and doing it. That's what James goes on to say here. In July, we're issuing a challenge to everyone in the church here to listen to the whole of the New Testament over the summer. So in July and August. So we want to encourage one another in hearing the word. But hearing is only one part of welcoming the word of God. And that's the point that James makes here, that doing it is what really shows that we welcome it meekly. If we are submitting to it, then we'll do it, not just hear it. Verse 22 and following. But be doers of the word and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they're like those who look at themselves in a mirror, for they look at themselves and on going away immediately forget what they were like. Looking in the mirror is something we do in an instant and then forget. It matters for a moment and then is lost. But that's no good with God's word. Welcoming God's word meekly means hearing it and doing it and persevering in doing it. Verse 25. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, God's word which frees us, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. Hearing it and doing it brings God's blessing. Hearing and not doing it is self-deception and worthless. James doesn't mince his words, does he? I'm very grateful for that. In some ways. But the fact that it's so clear means we have even less excuse not to follow up and do it. James doesn't mince his words. He goes on in verse 26. If any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongues but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. But Jesus didn't mince his words either, did he? As Andy said in the sermon in the 9:30 service, this reminds us of a parable, a well-known parable in Jesus' teaching. Everyone who hears these words and acts on them is like a wise man who built his house on rock. Everyone who hears these words and doesn't do them is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. James knows, Jesus knows. It's not a grey area, this. It's clear as a bell. Hear God's word and do it. Otherwise, your religion is worthless. Do it after hearing it. And James gives one or two examples as he finishes off this little section. The example in verse 27a, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to care for orphans and widows in their distress. So doing God's word, not just hearing it, means we must help the neediest. In James's time, the neediest were widows and orphans. They had nothing. So God's word tells us to help the neediest. And if we welcome God's word meekly, we'll do that. There are all sorts of ways we can do that. There are ways in the church in which we seek to do that among themselves. There's a box at the back where we provide food for the Wellspring Homeless Project. This week we're knocking on doors to encourage people to give to Christian Aid. Last week we had a bucket collection for the people who've been badly affected by the Nepal earthquake. We encourage one another to sacrifice our own money and time to help those in genuine need. If we don't do it, our religion is worthless, says James. And then he gives a final example in verse 27b. And keep oneself unstained by the world. If God's word says something and our society says something else, don't go with the flow of our society, says James, because that's not meekly receiving God's word. Meekly receiving God's word is submitting to his word as the authority. There are increasing examples in our society where this is applicable. But here's just one. If our society or if others in our society say never apologize or forgive because it's a sign of weakness, don't be stained by the world. Forgive as you have been forgiven by the Lord. And say sorry for any genuine wrong. Well, the letter of James, challenging, very practical. And it's encouraging Christians to grow and mature. It is encouraging everyone that the way to do this is to welcome with meekness the word of God which has been planted in us. And as Jesus said in another well-known parable, these are the ones sown in good soil. They hear the word of God and accept it and bear fruit 30 times, 60 times, and 100 times. Let's pray. Please, Lord, help us to be those who hear your word and do it, because we know it's, well, our progress with you is pointless otherwise. Please, Lord. Amen.